Turn to hymn number 300. 300. Take the name of Jesus with you. If you found it, stand with me as we sing, all right? 300, take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. Will joy and comfort give you? Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Don Bartley, would you open the service in prayer? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hymn number 402. 402. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling. Come follow me, footsteps of Jesus. 402.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus, make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, being the weak. Footprints of Jesus makes the pathway glow. We will follow the step Jesus wherever they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor, lowly serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last when on high he sees us, our journey done, rest where the steps of Jesus and at his throne. Footprints of Jesus makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
I know whom I have believed. 442. 442.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how, believing in his word, peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that.
On verse 4,
I know not when my Lord may come, night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him, meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
463, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. 463, all right?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
We should have something to sing about all the time. 458. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. Now I belong to Jesus. 458. All right.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him.
Jesus, Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation. Up from sorrow and shame, now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years, time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me. Me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Thank you. Thank you for playing, Megan.
Yeah, and thank you, Steve, for leading us and singing. Tonight we're going to look at one last name or title, combination name of the Lord our God, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Canu, Lord our righteousness. Ever since the Garden of Eden, man has had a problem. Problem that they could not solve themselves. And it was a problem that was put into a form of question in one of the, I think, the earliest Old Testament book written, the book of Job. Job chapter 9 and verse 2. And the question there was, how can a man be just with God? In other words, how can a man be righteous before a holy God? And mankind has been trying to figure out from their own human wisdom and reasoning how to be righteous before a holy God. And all of their efforts fall short. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. None that do good. There in Romans chapter 1, we read a description of unrighteous men. Or mankind, I should say. Just turn with me there, just to refresh your minds. Beginning at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's the answer to Job's question. How can a man be just before God? It's by faith in what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And it's in the gospel. That's going back to verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Sorry about that. I forgot to put my mic on. And so as you continue to read through these early chapters of Romans, Paul is laying out the fact that man is unrighteous.
in their natural state. And man needs the righteousness of God. And the only way to receive that righteousness is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Where it says, "For he, God, has made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's referring to Jesus, of course, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What a terrific exchange. We're exchanging our unrighteousness for his righteousness. And it's in contrast to the tragic exchange that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1, where they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They were worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator. And that is still happening today in our world. And so this verse here sums up for us all that God's plan of redemption is about. Man is sinful and unrighteous. Christ became sin for sinful man to provide righteousness for man. And so this name of Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, represents God's dealings with men under the ideas of righteousness, justification, and acquittal. And that word is not a terribly popular word in our world. God demands righteousness. He demands a separation from sin, a separation unto himself. And only through Christ can man be declared righteous through justification. And so this pardon from sin can only come through the acceptance of what Christ accomplished on the cross. He died in your place. Let's see what else has we got on the slide here. And so this name of God, the Lord God, is, I think, one of the most powerful and comforting ones that he has given us, because it meets the essential need of sinful mankind. We're given his righteousness. And understanding that name will create in us, I believe, a heart of gratitude. Aren't you thankful for that? We should be every day that he has done that for us. God deals with man rightly, which is the meaning of that word tesek, tzedek, in the Hebrew. Dr. Nathan Stone gave this quote. He said, "Human language is at best insufficient to convey the full comprehension of the ideas of righteousness and justification contained in this word. It's only as we see it exhibited in God's character and also in God's acts, because his acts always and only and exclusively are righteous. Will not the judge of all the whole earth do right?" is what the Bible says, and he will. Four key words. Before we get to that, let's look at some context here. Going back to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah the prophet, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness." There you find that combination, that title. And so the condition here of Judah was unrighteous. They were steeped in idolatry. They were going after false pagan gods and worshiping and sacrificing unto them. There was rebellion against God and His Word in Judah as well. And there was also immorality that was rampant. So that was the condition of Judah. They were unrighteous and they needed the righteousness of God. And so there we find the context. We also find the character of God here in Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. His name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He is righteous. This is going to take a while. There you go. There's that word tzedek. And it means straight or right. And I'm not sure why I picked that slow motion to come up there. But it pictures how God deals with sinful mankind who are under the ideas of righteousness here and justification and acquittal. There we go. So here are the four key words that will help us, I think, understand the full meaning and the full importance of Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. The first is, it is a proclaimed righteousness. And all through Scripture, God's righteousness is seen in this form, a picture of this river gathering strength and volume as it flows like a river. So the Lord our righteousness is everywhere before us as the motto and the watchword of His will. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when they do so, they will be given His righteousness. And so it's been proclaimed in God's word. Israel, in the Old Testament, the church in the New Testament, are reminded that by Him and in Him we learn and we confess Him to be our righteousness. In the Old Testament, the Lord is proclaimed as Jehovah Tsidkenu by Israel. And in their seeking after righteousness, the people of Israel discovered their own unrighteousness. The Greeks sought after wisdom. The Romans sought after power and world domination. But there is ever a remnant in Israel that is seeking after God and His righteousness. And to the devout in Israel, goodness and character were of greater value than wealth, wisdom, and the ways of mankind. And across the pages of the Old Testament is the fact that out of this search after righteousness, this panting after God, there developed an expectation of the one whose name would be called Jehovah Tsidkenu. So God's word demonstrates to us a proclaimed righteousness. And here we go again. I should have started this a long time ago. I'll go forward here. We've already done that. It's also a prescribed righteousness. And it's found in the denouncing of an artificial righteousness. Turn with me to Isaiah 64. Unrighteous man has neither the character nor the conduct of it on his own to lay before a just God. Helpless and hopeless we are to produce the required and the necessary righteousness to be right with God. Now, Isaiah 64 in verse 6, I think it's a familiar passage for many, which says this, when I get to it. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calls upon thy name, that stirs up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And so we find here the denouncing of an artificial righteousness. And boy, there are many groups today, religious groups today, that are producing an artificial righteousness, a man-made type of of gaining favor, they think, with God. It may be through works and a host of other ways. But they're all going to fall short. As Romans 3 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what a relief to know, what a relief to learn that by this magnificent name of Jehovah Tsidkenu, he provides what he demands. And he demands absolute righteousness. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, where Jesus is describing to his listeners there in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying this, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the scribes and the Pharisees were all about living, as they thought, a righteous life. And of course, it was a legalistic, pride, self-righteous type of thing. And Jesus is saying, that's not going to make it. Your righteousness is not going to make it. And it has to exceed, far exceed, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And the only way to accomplish that is to have the righteousness of Christ in your life. And so we have this prescribed righteousness. Martin Luther distinguishes four different forms of righteousness. The first is a political or a civil righteousness, which emperors and princes of the world, philosophers and lawyers deal with. That's one. The second one is a ceremonial righteousness with the traditions that mankind teaches. There's a third, a righteousness of the law or of the Ten Commandments, which Moses was given and taught. And then lastly, a righteousness of faith or Christian righteousness, which must be carefully discerned from the other forms. And that's the kind of righteousness that God accepts. And you can observe political, civil, and ceremonial righteousness and yet not be right with God. True righteousness is imputed and imparted to the sinner as he receives by faith the one who at Calvary became in every way his Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. You see, there's no way sinful mankind can attain by his own efforts a righteous standing before a holy God. Jesus Christ condemned the artificial righteousness of the Pharisees. They paraded it before men. They wanted to be seen of men there in the marketplace. They wanted to be heard of men as they prayed. Saul of Tarsus, by his own testimony, went about trying to establish his own righteousness. And of course he failed, as will every individual fail to do that. Martin Luther's friend said to him one day, I have vowed above 1,000 times that I would become better, but I have never performed that which I have vowed. Hereafter I will make no such vow, for I have learned from experience that I am not able to perform it. And the righteousness that God desires and demands cannot be produced by sinful mankind. We're absolutely helpless to work out a justifying righteousness for ourselves, which is capable of satisfying the claims of him whose justice is the habitation of his throne. So this is a prescribed righteousness, but it's also provided. And this, we ought to thank God for this. He provided it for us. And it came in the incarnation of Jesus Christ when Jehovah Tsidkenu became flesh. He was made unto us righteousness. The penalty of sin was death. No sinner could possibly escape that sentence. But the righteous God sent his Son, the righteous branch that we read about there in Jeremiah, to taste that death for every sinner, whereby he could be accepted by God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Where he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We cannot glory or boast in ourselves. We need to glory in the Lord, because he is the one who provides that righteousness for us. Acceptable righteousness is not attained. It's obtained from the Lord himself. It's not produced by our own effort. It's been provided by his sacrifice. And it's by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we'll be looking forward to that wonderful event that took place, which we call Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little girl from Gary, Indiana, had been terribly burned in a flash fire. And she lingered between life and death. Any hope of being restored to a place of usefulness depended upon a delicate and extensive skin graft. And when the call was issued for a volunteer to give up skin, a young boy responded. The operation took place in a day when our more advanced techniques were unknown. And during the surgery, there were complications that set in, and the lad died, the boy died. But through the gift of himself, he made it possible for that young lady to be completely restored. You can well imagine the debt of gratitude that filled her heart. And you've all seen stories and accounts of those who have given up organs in their bodies to be able to give life to somebody who needed that. But nothing in our Lord's life called for his death, because he had no sin in him. He willingly offered himself to provide for our righteousness. And when you realize that your own personal righteousness is a filthy rag, and that in yourself dwelleth no good thing, what a blessed deliverance you and I can experience as we turn to Jehovah to Tsidkenu, knowing that it was his shed blood that provides the garment of righteousness. Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish preacher many, many years ago, died at the age of 29. And he wrote a poem of 7 verses around that title of Jehovah to Tsidkenu. And this is part of what he wrote. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spake in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah to Tsidkenu was nothing to me. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fears shook me. I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah to Tsidkenu my Savior must be. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilt fears banished. With boldness I came to drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah to Tsidkenu is all things to me. He came to that place where he recognized his need for the righteousness of God. So the last key word that we find in the righteousness of God is a practiced righteousness. If the Lord has become all things to us, then we should become in all things what he expects of us. And with our positional righteousness in heaven a certainty, there must come a practical righteousness on earth. Being righteous before God demands of us integrity. It demands of us uprightness before men. Having put on a new man created in righteousness, we must, by the aid of the Spirit of God, become, as Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 6, servants of righteousness. And so we need to be separated from the world, as 1 John 2 says. We need to strategically display this new man in Christ, as Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4. We are to put off the old man. And we're to do what? We're to put on the new. Put on the new. And that's strategically displaying the new man in Christ. No contradiction between our standing in Christ and our state in the world. In other words, we need to hate sin as God hates it. Sin in our own life. And we need to love righteousness, doing what is right, pursuing what is right, living right in conduct, living right in conversation, in how we use our money and our transactions and business and relationships. What we are in Christ must never be divorced from what we do in the everyday connections of life. And so in view of the judgment seat of Christ, Paul spoke in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he spoke of the crown of righteousness that he would receive for loving the truth of Christ in his appearing. And that crown of righteousness is available for every believer who is looking for and loving the appearing of Jesus Christ. What a reward to see him face to face as our eternal Jehovah Tsidkenu. It will not be long when it will be our rapture as ones clothed in his righteousness, transported I rise, to greet him in the skies, in the air. And there's that song. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. So having put on the new man created in righteousness, and I'm going to go as slow as that is going, and true holiness. I used to type this slow too. We must, by the aid of the Spirit of God, I think. Yeah, there we go, Holy Spirit. This poor PowerPoint is getting old. We need to become servants of righteousness. There we go. I can speed it up, I think. And we look forward to receiving that crown of righteousness there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." And what is the hope of righteousness? The Spirit of God inspires us to wait for. It needs to be that crown of righteousness. What a reward it will be to see him face to face, our eternal Jehovah Tsidkenu. We've come to the end of the lesson. I trust it's been a blessing to you to review and go over again these combination names of Jehovah our God. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the ministry of your word and the Spirit of God as he brings to our mind again these wonderful names and titles that are ascribed to you and how they speak to us, how they challenge us in how we are to walk and live day by day. Help us, Lord, to pursue holiness in the fear of God, recognizing that one day we will be face to face before you, recognizing you as the Lord, our righteousness. And we'll thank you for all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A couple of prayer requests I have here to give to you to share. These come from Jeff Straub. His mother-in-law has